Were the Greenland Norse doomed from the outset? Were they at a hopeless disadvantage compared to all the Native American hunter-gatherer peoples who had occupied Greenland on and off for thousands of years before the Norse arrived? I don't think so. Before the Inuit, there had been at least four previous waves of Native Americans from the Canadian Arctic who had died out one after another. While the Inuit have persisted in Greenland for 8 centuries, archaeologists have discovered many Inuit houses sealed up like time capsules, containing the bodies of Inuit families that starved to death during a harsh winter. Compared to the Inuit, the Norse enjoyed the big advantage of an additional food source, livestock. In that respect, the Norse potentially had a better chance of surviving, if only they had taken advantage of the wild foods that Native Americans used, but that the Norse did not. That they did not hunt the ringed seals, fish, and whales was their own decision. The Norse starved in the presence of abundant, unutilized food resources. Why did they make that decision, which from our perspective seems suicidal? Actually, from the perspective of their own observations, values, and previous experience, Norse decision-making was no more suicidal than is ours today. 4 sets of considerations stamped their outlook. First, the Norse had the fortune, or misfortune, to arrive in Greenland when its climate was relatively mild. Not having lived there for the previous 1,000 years, they had not experienced a series of cold and warm cycles, and had no way to foresee the later difficulties of maintaining livestock when Greenland's climate would go into a cold cycle. Second, the Norse did not enter Greenland with their minds a blank slate. Instead, like all colonizing peoples, they arrived with their own knowledge, cultural values, and preferred lifestyle. They thought of themselves as dairy farmers, Christians, Europeans, and specifically, Norse. Their Norwegian forebears had successfully practiced dairy farming for 3,000 years. Shared language, religion, and culture bound them to Norway. Without those shared Norwegian values, the Norse could not have cooperated to survive in Greenland. In that light, their investments in cows, the Nordsetta hunt, and churches are understandable, even though on purely economic grounds, those may not have been the best use of Norse energy. The Norse were undone by the same social glue that had enabled them to master Greenland's difficulties. That proves to be a common theme throughout history. The values to which people cling most stubbornly under inappropriate conditions are those values that were previously the source of their greatest triumphs over adversity. Third, the Norse, like other medieval European Christians, scorned pagan non-European peoples and lacked experience of how best to deal with them. Hence, the Norse refused to learn from the Inuit, and probably behaved towards them in ways ensuring their enmity. Finally, power in Norse Greenland was concentrated at the top, in the hands of the chiefs and clergy. They owned most of the land, including all the best farms, owned the boats, and controlled the trade with Europe. They chose to devote much of that trade to importing goods that brought prestige to them. There were many innovations that might have improved the material conditions of the Norse, but those innovations could have threatened the power, prestige, and narrow interests of the chiefs. In the tightly controlled, interdependent society of Norse Greenland, the chiefs were in a position to prevent others from trying out such innovations. Thus, Norse society's structure created a conflict between the short-term interests of those in power and the long-term interests of the society as a whole. We modern Americans should not be too quick to brand them as failures. When their society survived in Greenland for longer than our English-speaking society has survived so far in North America. Ultimately, though, the chiefs found themselves without followers. The last right that they obtained for themselves was the privilege of being the last to starve.